Welcome to another episode of the Finer Life Show. I'm your host, Greg Hush Williams. On this episode, we're going to talk to Chris Ray, the 36th International President of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated and U.S. Army veteran, on the similarities between Greek and military life. Take a listen.
I like how you said I did 22 good years, because you know y'all folks, veterans, can have a bad year and you'd be like, this is some crud. I got to do this all over again. You said 56 days. I was here for 53. Why can't I have a good year? That's right. I have to ask you this question. Okay, you did your overseas tour. What did you, when you deployed, what mm-hmm. did you really miss about home? I got one of the goodies too. You know, I got this. This is my, okay, you did your time in Afghanistan and this is beautiful and everything. But you know what I miss? I miss the boondocks. I miss the whole like season of the boondocks. And that's what I missed about back home. What did you miss when you deployed? What did you miss?
I just miss cable. I just miss cable, man. Of course, during that time period, when I initially, my first deployment was in 04. That was in the early years of the Iraqi war. And so, you know, of course, I was addicted to the 24 was out at the time. So, you know, I would get all the video, I mean, the CDs that would be sent to me. So, of course, I was getting all CDs sent to me on seasons of different shows. But I just miss cable, man, being able to see what was going on in sports immediately. Now, the good thing about being a signal officer is that, you know, the internet, you know, lives and dies with you, right? So, you know, your job is to connect the warriors on the battlefield. And every once in a while, you got to take that blue wire and see what was going on, you know, out there. But it was never the same. It was never the same. And so, but I just miss, you know, just being able to surf the television and just, you know, sometimes, you know, you pop up on a station, you're like, oh, what's this? You catch an old show that you haven't seen in a long time, like a Back to the Future or something like that, just because you just had access to it. And even though being a signal officer, you had access to internet, it wasn't high speed internet, right? You know, we had the SIN. So, you know, the LIN and some of the other equipment that created the internet for us there. So I just miss fast internet and cable and access to my cable when I was in the desert.
Listen, so I deployed in 2011 and 2012. And by that time, that's when the cable plan, it was $45 for 54 megabytes. I was like, $45 for 54 megabytes? This is ridiculous. I mean, you paved the way for me to have my little, I'm not going to shout out the cable company because y'all really got all of us soldiers in Afghanistan. Let me ask you this question. What did you join first, the military or Phi Beta Sigma? What came before, the chicken or the egg? Which one? What happened? And then how did you correspond with that?
So I joined Phi Beta Sigma first. I joined Phi Beta Sigma when I was 19. I was a sophomore in college at East Carolina University. And during my senior year, I was at work. And I'm telling you, it happened just like this. So I ran track in college. So I was a full track scholarship athlete. I was a track and field All-American in high school coming into college. And so I remember it was my senior year. We were on our way to a track meet and I was knocked out in the back of the van. And I had this dream about standing in a bay with all these beds. And all the beds were, they had these green blankets on them and they were all, you know, just folded, you know, dress right. And I can use that language now because, you know, but at the time I just remember standing in the middle of the bay and looking around and saying, where is this? That was a dream I had. You fast forward a year later from that spring, I think that was the spring of 99. So in 2000, I joined the military in March. March of 2000. And when I was at basic training, One of my drill sergeants was like, hey, I need you to run upstairs and give something to drill. I was like, all right, cool. So I grabbed it, you know, went upstairs. And when I dropped it off to the drill sergeant, I was upstairs in the bay, dropped it off. And when I was running back downstairs to my platoon, I stopped in the middle of the bay. And there I stood, all the beds, dress right, dress. And I said to myself, this was my dream. So there was a bit of deja vu that I had, when that happened. And it just blew me away. But in the fall of 1996, I joined Phi Beta Sigma. And then in the spring of 2000 is when I enlisted into the military.
Wow. So let me ask you, I mean, you go from, you know, immersing yourself in Greek life, and then you join the military. Did you see right off the bat the similarities as far as, you know, discipline and teamwork? And what could you say complements both entities, Greek life and the military, in your own words?
Sure. So let's start with the rigor. So initially, let me first start off by saying Phi Beta Sigma is a non-hazing organization, right? But to become a member of our organization in the 90s, which was in 1991, just give a little back history, pledging in our fraternities is what is known as above ground. You know, people march in line, they would be on the campuses. People knew who was pledging to become a member of the fraternities or sororities. Then in 1991, the National Panhellenic Council, which is the governing organization that governs the historically Black fraternities and sororities, said that, you know what, we are no longer going to be doing membership intake in that manner. Now it has to be through a different type of process. Well, of course, you have generations of men that came through a pledge process. And so, of course, here we are 5 years removed from that understanding. And so what ends up happening is that we still have that that culture that still pervaded during that time period. And so going through the pledge process to become a member of the fraternity, believe it or not, really prepared me for the rigors of just, let's just start off with basic training, right? I wasn't a 19-year-old, 18, 17-year-old that joined the military. I was 22 years old when I joined, but I went through a pledging process through Phi Beta Sigma. But through that process, it prepared me for, you know, in my opinion, for basic training. Because when the drill sergeant is right in my face, yelling right at me, I knew that he was preparing me for the next level. Compared to maybe a 17-year-old or 18-year-old who was like, why is this dude in my face? Why is he yelling at me? I understood that what he was doing was the breaking down process for me to be indoctrinated into the culture that was going to be necessary for me to be a warrior. And I got that, I knew that, but I probably would not have understood that had I not gone through what I went through to become a member initially of the organization. And so that would be my initial comparison, going through the process that I did to become a member of the organization, where I had big brothers in my face and making me do things to prepare me for what we understood would be the rigors of being a member of the organization. And then the same process, becoming a member of the fraternity, becoming a member of the armed forces.
Wow. So, you know, that leads me to this question. So, you know, you have two entities that are so intertwined in the basis of always learning, being disciplined, being on time, and selfless service, you know. Right. Let me ask you this question. So as you started to progress in your military career, and of course you don't just become the international president of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated overnight, you know, of course you have to hold certain offices.
Right.
What leadership skills did you, you know, I learned this from the Army. I learned this from Phi Beta Sigma. I learned this from the military. I learned this from Greek life. What skills did you, you know, I don't want to say mix and match to see which fit where, right, but overall encompassing, you know, organizational leadership skills, what did you learn?
Sure. So, you know, I will tell you that, you know, both organizations are in the people business, you know, and as a leader, when I decided to be a leader in Sigma and I decided to be a leader in the military, I understood that I had to understand that I was in the business of people, number one. So when you are in the business of people, that means that you have, that you are taking an exorbitant amount of time to understand people. In the fraternity, as you move up through the leadership ranks, you're going to be in a room full of different men that are going to be from various backgrounds, that have their own outlook on life, their own outlook on where they believe the organization should be. And you as a leader who have to be able to work with these other leaders have to understand how to navigate around those personalities. And knowing that those personalities all have a backstory. So what skill sets do you have as a leader that's going to give you the desire to want to get to know that brother so that you can kind of understand where his point of view is and where he's coming from? Now, when you translate that to the military, here I am where your job normally as a leader is to make sure that you're providing the best information possible for the top leader, who's going to be ultimately responsible for the decision of whatever the objective is and whatever the mission is that we're getting ready to execute. And so as you work with other staff officers, you in that role, you got to understand personalities. You got to understand what makes them tick. And then how do you deliver what your piece of the puzzle is in such a way that is going to allow for that information to be shared with the top leader so that it's going to be helpful for the mission. And so being in the people business requires a level of skill set that I learned from Sigma that I was able to translate into the military. Now, when I went into the military, I had just came out of college. My first national position in the fraternity was the International Second Vice President. And so being International Second Vice President means that you are the top voice of all the collegiate members of the fraternity, right? And so going in as a E4 into the army, I understood as a young leader, I was already in the room with other grown men who I was in the early stages of learning that skill set. So going in as an E4 compared to the rest of my peers, I was coming in with other skill sets that they had not developed yet or had not been exposed to yet, which kind of gave me an advantage because I literally was a national officer sitting on an executive board of an international organization. So that prepared me to sit in a room with other military leaders to be able to and feel comfortable to share my point of view on certain issues because the fraternity had prepared me, you know, for that, because of all of the workshops and the engagement and the level of development that they had given me prior to me going into the military. So it really positioned me in such a way that allowed for me to really start off on a pretty good trajectory for the army.
Wow, that's phenomenal. So then let's talk about team building, because you can't, you know, you second VP for international organization, one of the largest nonprofits, and then you're going into military as, you know, a specialist, and then you're rising through the ranks, and then you go officer school. I mean, you have to learn about team building. So give me some of the tips, you know, that you've learned during your career, you know, from Phi Beta Sigma and the Army. You know, give me, I would like five. I know you could write them down in a book, Chris, all day, every day, but we ain't got 200 pages. We got about 5 minutes to talk about this topic. Team building. What are some of the exercises you've utilized over time? And what are some lessons learned?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Team building is key. And absolutely, in both organizations. So you got to think about it, right? Phi Beta Sigma, I like to always, as I tell the brothers now, Phi Beta Sigma is a multi-million dollar global nonprofit organization. But at the very core of who we are is men of service. But even in knowing that we are men of service, think about the fact that in the communities that we serve, you as a leader of that chapter, of that local chapter, have to convince your brothers that this is the initiative that is most important for this community. But then you have another brother who's sitting in the room who has his own objective, right? He has his own cause that's important to him because his life story may have required him to follow that path. You know, he may have been a homeless teen or whatever. So homelessness may be important to him. But then you have a brother who is interested in premature babies because he was a preemie or his child is a preemie. And we have a partnership with the March of Dimes. And so here you are as a leader sitting in the chapter meeting, looking at all the different points of views of your members and recognizing that you have to, number one, recognize that you can't do it all, right? So how do I narrow down the scope of what we as a chapter is going to do so that we don't burn each other out? One of the initial things that I learned as a leader was making sure that you take a temperature of the organization. You know, finding out what is absolutely important to the majority, right? Because the majority of the brothers is who you want to be at the service projects. So how do I make sure that I take a temperature check of the, you know, doing a survey of the chapter to see are the brothers more interested in education? Are they more interested in social action? Are they more interested in economic empowerment and engagement? Once I understood where that was, then I was able to then chart the path of building the team around by saying, hey, brothers, we've done this survey. The majority of the brothers have said they want to focus on social action, social engagement. And so if I'm a brother who's sitting back and I really wanted to do more stuff around education, my leader has taken time to say, has taken time to get a temperature of the organization and realize that, you know, we're going to probably move more in this direction. But what I did as a leader was say, we're going to move in that direction around social action. But for those of you who are more interested in education, you know, I encourage you to find programs that will allow for you to be engaged in education. And we will find a few brothers to support you, but don't be discouraged if the majority of the brothers don't support your project, because the majority of the brothers have spoken and said they're interested in social action. And so as a leader, you have to communicate that. So communication is absolutely important as a leader, to the subordinates. So when you flip that over to the military, same way. Even though military is more about executing the mission, it's important that you communicate the mission clearly to your folks. It's important that you know that you always keep a survey and a temperature of where you're of the organization, where the soldiers are at. What is the morale like? Are we going to be able to execute the mission if everyone is where they need to be at? And a lot of that temperature check is really checking in to make sure that they're good personally, that they're good mentally, and that they have what they feel they need in order for them to be successful in the mission execution. Same principles, same philosophy, two different organizations.
Beautiful. Thank you for tuning into the Finer Life Show. Listen, if you want to find us on the web, please check us out at www.mbfikings2017.org. That is www.mbphikings2017.org.